I wasn't sure if I was going to be ready for a little morning show edition of Your Artificial Friends.
I know it's early.
No, I'm Hoda. I want to be Hoda.
Yeah. Well, go get a glass of wine.
Or no, I was going to be. Was that Gene guy? Remember from like the '80s? That the guy with the big mustache?
Gene Shalit.
What did he do? Was he a weather guy or was he a movie guy?
He was the movie review.
Okay.
I'm Gene Shalit. You're gonna love it. It's a great movie. Let's succeed. Cut. Check the gate.
He looks like some type of dog with its hair shaved off around his face. Yeah.
Start recording. Larry has entered. Start your recording.
I am recording now. Larry has entered
Gene Shalit. I'm Gene Shalit, and I saw this movie. This movie, Mrs. Doubtfire, is a pleaser. You'll like it from the first frame.
He's got to have the worst. Who's got the worst mustache ever? He's got to be in like the top five, right?
It's not a good mustache. No. I'll tell you that for free. It's a crowd pleaser. We'll see this one on the dais when it comes time for the Oscars.
That guy's the worst. Why do I know he exists? I don't like that.
But you're our Gene Shalit.
Yep, that's me. We're doing a morning show. I start.
Who would Larry be?
I start. Larry could be Hoda. He could be Hoda. I'll be Gene.
Who will I be? I guess I'm
Kathy Lee.
I guess it's better than being Matt Lauer.
No, who's the weather guy that wears like blue glasses? He's on
Al Roker. Yeah,
Al Roker.
I want to be who was the guy before him that started the Smucker's jar thing for old
people.
Oh,
they still do that bullshit. They're like, and Betty Davis is 119 today in Hickey Bottom, Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's like the Schmuckers Centarians. I don't know. It's something like that.
Yeah, and always they say that their secret to their longevity is one martini and a piece of crispy bacon.
A dozen eggs and a pack of Pall Malls.
Hey, welcome to the program. That's the voice of Josh Fligger.
Hi.
My name is Andy Chanley, and I see in the third frame on the picture here,
he's here.
Larry Morgan
his microphone
frantically
is off.
Plugging things in
and
getting ready to go. He's shaking his head as if it's been an ordeal. He has a grimace on his face. It sounds like it was an awful night for him.
Yep. And I would say that this looks like a man that definitely does not want to be here right now.
Well,
how's it going, Hoda?
How is that any different than any other week? How do you know the difference, Josh?
Hey, let's tell everybody this is a very rare and special morning show for us. That's why we're talking about all this stuff.
Ding, ding.
We were picking our morning alter egos from the Today Show on NBC. Larry, you're Hoda.
How did I get Hoda?
Get your glass of wine and let's go.
Jeez.
Okay. We ready?
A tough night for you, Larry?
No, it's just more stuff. It's just more of the same. Nobody can. Yeah, I will tell you this: our night jock who did 7 to midnight last night
at K Earth 101
at K Earth 101 just had to. I had to text him what songs he was going to be talking over, and then just wait to hear them start. Because he couldn't see the log and would just jump on it. Yeah, there was no visual and no control over anything. So
that's exciting. That's exciting.
Just,
with
it's
stuff
just
like that
running in auto right now, and he was just jumping in. I would text him, "Okay, you're gonna come out of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and you're gonna be talking over Bust a Move." Like, okay, I'll get ready. And that was how he did his entire show. Ran phone bits and everything. I mean, nobody listening would have ever known.
You got it. You got it.
So, and that continues to today. It's quite a challenge.
That's fun. Mm, that's that makes it exciting. It makes it different than usual. Sure. That's the voice of Larry Morgan right there.
Hi, everybody.
Sam Farmer's on assignment. Ladies and gentlemen,
should we play the
people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Welcome to it, everybody. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, starting just a little bit early this week. Yeah, it feels not that weird. That matters to people listening because it's, you know.
you're going to listen to it when you listen to it. But yeah, it's
still Thursday for you. But
it's ABC in the morning zoo with the Lair Dog and the Fleegster.
Got it. Cowbell.
Got it, dude. I want to start off with something very important, ooh, something momentous. Okay. Something.
Wow. Can I double check and make sure I'm recording? Because I feel like I'm forgetting steps.
Good idea. Good. Please
All right.
do.
All right. For better or worse, my voice is being saved to hard drive. So, okay. Go ahead.
Well, you won't want to miss this.
All right.
Because I'm going to lavish praise on Larry Morgan.
Ooh.
Oh, no, well, I don't think you're going to lavish praise on
praise,
me.
Praise and thanks.
I'll take the thanks, but I get no praise. Larry, I know what you're going to talk about.
Larry this last week on Monday of this last week. Larry, I get a message from him around, I don't know, 9 a.m., 9:30. And he says, can you come out to meet me at your front gate? And I said, no, I'm in a meeting. I'm about to make a presentation in a meeting to people in 8 time zones.
Which sounded very important. He made it sound very important.
It does sound important. It does sound important.
Wow.
But that was about that. So I couldn't jump right that second. It would be, 15 minutes before I was free. I said, but Laura and the kids are here. So, but if there's something that you wanted to leave, then by all means. I come out 20 minutes later.
But by the way, I think I shocked your wife only because she's not used to somebody opening the gate randomly at that time of morning. And she kind of poked her head. And I was like, I was wondering who knew our gate code and was coming in. I kind of felt weird. I just didn't want to slide this particular item sideways through the grating and leave it on the driveway.
Not a good idea. No. Not a good idea. So I come out and I actually walk around the front first, and I think, did he leave something out here? And I see there's nothing left out there, and I walk inside. I said, was Larry just here? And they said, yeah, and he left this for you. And there's this bag with a box on the counter. It is a frozen Olaliberry pie.
Yeah.
From what establishment?
From Lynn's Restaurant and Bakery in Cambria, California. World famous Lynn's Bakery.
You should have put that thing sideways through the grate.
It was frozen. It wouldn't have messed it up.
Down the driveway.
Yeah, I could have tossed it like a frisbee and try to see if I could land it on the front porch.
Olympic week, you've done the discus just right in the
discus. Yeah. I didn't want to walk near those front steps. They look so dangerous.
Shut it. I'm getting constant shit about this. gotta go this week and get some tile.
Yeah.
Anywho, so I go in there. They're leaving, and I go back to what I'm doing for a few minutes. I just assume that, they've left it out here, that it needs to thaw, and you go from there. Well, I go back, and like a half hour later, I come out, and I look at the back of the box just to check, and it says, don't thaw. Just stick it in the oven.
Yeah, you want to bake it just like that.
Yeah,
crisp it up nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So you even got, I was thinking it was cooked and then frozen and you just thought, nice.
That's what I thought at first too. But then I come in, I look at the instructions. It says brush it with a whole egg. And if you want it to brown up evenly and then put it in the oven at 4.
Did you break the egg first or did you just take the
I just rubbed it with the shell.
Put the egg back in the fridge, Lou. It's good to go.
That's what they meant, right?
They didn't describe it right. And so I put the thing in there, ungodly hot, 425, 450 or whatever it was, and put it in. And I'm like, well, nobody's in here. I guess I can run outside and do a little bit more work for a half hour. I'll keep an eye on it. Anyway, come back in, and the thing had started really browning up around, you know, the little crusty parts where they push the thumb around the edge, that part was getting super brown. So I'm like, oh my God, I got to make a little shield for it out of tinfoil where I cut the circle out and then, you know, cover that part. But I did that. Comes out, long story short, masterfully, wonderfully well cooked.
Beautiful.
And I set that aside. Later that evening, at dinner.
Put it on the windowsill and the little little smell waves start wafting across the neighborhood.
You see cats floating through the air with their nose up in the air. Going,
So we have this pie with just a little scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Son of a bitch.
Right?
I wanted to. You know that movie American Pie?
Yep.
where that Jason guy.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just ridiculous and just, you know, that turned me off of that movie just for that. That's just so inane. Mm. You know, come on.
Okay, so what
he did with his junk and the pie.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that.
What's the berry again? What kind was it?
Olaliberry.
All right, now describe to me the best you can on what this pie tasted like.
It's in the black berry family.
Okay.
Yeah, when you say Larry, it's blackberry crossed with what? Raspberry? I don't know what the combination.
It's it is a blackberry I'm going to read it right here.
It's very close to boysenberry.
It is the name for the Olale blackberry released by the USDA ARS in collaboration with Oregon State University.
Also,
a cross between the Black Logan and the young berry, it's a hybrid berry that is, it's a blackberry on steroids, is what it is.
It's a man-made berry. Nice.
That's I mean, it's not synthetic. It's got berry DNA.
It's like those new apples they came out with like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think Oregon State did that too. They're known for like making new fruits.
Well, Oregon is where you get boysenberries. There's the big export of boysenberries from Oregon, so they're nuts about their berries.
Yeah,
you said I did.
Jesus. So the end result is you enjoyed the pie. Am I right that it's not too cloying sweet?
No,
right?
It's like no sugar added. That was the thing that. And Laura sits down, and she's not a pie person. She sits down. She goes, "Well, I'll try some."
I know
pie.
She told me that when I said, "Are you guys into pie?" And Laura was like, "Yeah," and kind of wrinkled her nose.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked Silas, and Silas was like, "Yeah."
Like, although yeah, that just seems to be the floor.
That seems to be the kind of answer Silas might be giving you all the time these days.
Laura ate this pie for supper, right? You know, for our dessert.
Uh-huh.
Then she said, This would be a good breakfast pie.
Yeah, it would.
Had some. She had some the next morning for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
then had some the next night for dessert, and then she had the last piece the following morning for breakfast.
Oh, she had the last piece. She might have crossed the line there.
I know.
Yeah.
That's birthday pie, if you know what I mean,
that's
Andy.
That's birthday pie. This is my birthday abrasion.
Yeah. Yeah. You should have at least had one pie to fuck before you got done.
Your birthday was last month, Andy, not this month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It is August.
Yeah. It was pretty outstanding, fellas. It was pretty, pretty great.
Well, good for you.
So, Larry, thank you for that. I wanted to rub it on my chest.
Well, Josh, I feel that you should not be deprived. So I'm going to make sure that you get a chance to partake in one of these.
You can just throw the pie over the fence this time. I'm not going to. Okay. Here, you can just hawk it at my house. I'll lick it off the wall.
We don't need to rest on it. You're just going to start gnawing on it frozen like a pie sickle.
It's so good. I'm going to hide up in my real closet and just eat it cold.
Larry's going to start throwing pies through windows like that guy on the Andy Griffith Show. What was his name? It's me. It's me. It's Ernest T. And just throwing pies and crashing through windows. I love it. But yeah, that was glorious. And I had to give you your propers for your exquisite taste in pie, sir.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted you to experience it after I described my whole, you know, thing of hearing the guy's lips smacking on the radio about it. And the fact that in this area, it is a go-to place for people who come through here. They just know about it. And it's been around forever. This is like this great family. They just have this local bakery, and then they have a little market, and then they have their farm is a little outside of town where you can go and buy tchotchkes and you know, all sorts of, and get pie there. And they're just a local regional thing, but they've started to grow, and they send these out. They ship them out. And
ship them. I might have to get one shipped then.
Yeah, pretty expensive shipped. Oh, you can tip me a couple of bucks, and you're going to save a lot of money.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, man,
they're really good.
I thought maybe you had oversold it.
Well, I tried to hold back a little bit, but I, knowing you and knowing what you like, and also just the factor, one of the reasons we like them so much is that they're not the super sweet.
Yeah.
Just like, I hate that.
And they don't add sugar to it. And that's what Laura says. She goes, this is so good. Yeah. And it's not too sweet.
It's still good
in the last bite as it is in the first. And sometimes when it's too sugary, you'll love the first bite or two, but then like bite three, you're like, this is a little,
that's what makes it perfect. Right. Yeah. It's what makes it perfect with just a little scoop of vanilla ice cream because that's the sweeter part. And you get the, almost the tangy sour part. Oh God.
Right. And I'm telling you that they have little individual frozen pies in their market in there. And there's my favorite of what they do, and it's kind of seasonal, but they did have a few frozen versions, is blueberry peach. And that, and also, honestly, as much as I love their Olallieberry, and that's their signature pie, I believe their strawberry rhubarb is even better.
Wow.
Strawberry rhubarb.
This is some hot.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
This is some hot pie talk going on.
Yeah. Right,
I'm telling you.
It's been like 20 minutes, and all we've talked about is pie.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I got to write down hot pie talk.
we could stretch this out for an hour.
We got the title. Well, that's what I was going to say. Now you can see why those guys on the radio you were talking about a couple weeks ago. Now you can see how they could spend a complete hour talking about the nuances. Yeah,
and remember how Larry felt about them is now how our listeners feel about us. Okay,
big difference. We haven't used up a lot of that time just smacking our lips and making nummy noises and literally shoving pie in our face. Big gaps of silence. Just hearing just mouth noises going. And these are old guys, so there's a lot of mouth noise going on. So we still got that on. And this is also not a freaking radio airwaves. It's just our dumb little podcast. We can do anything we want.
I would actually beg to differ that maybe they were doing it right, because they're the ones getting to eat the pie. And we're just sitting here talking about stupid pie.
Kissing our sister. I'm really hungry.
By the way, speaking of old guys and mouths.
That's my cue to leave.
I'm not really sure where we're going.
Did you see the picture yesterday? I saw it yesterday on the internets. It was a story that came up. I think it was People Magazine. I don't know. But it was a picture of a guy who caught a fish somewhere on the East Coast, and the fish had human teeth.
I think it
was shocking. Like, it had a mouth. It looked like Walter Matthau's mouth.
Did it have a cigar in his mouth too?
Well, look at the picture.
I don't want to, and
you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't know if I can show it to you here. Yeah, it was on People Magazine. But this fish, can you guys see this?
No.
No, we can't see. Okay, I don't want to see that. Oh God! Oh God! That's making him gag.
That's making him gag. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'll describe it. Hammond. Andy held his phone up, and you know, like you hold your phone up, it's like a bright top. It's like a bright thing in the screen, so I can't see anything. Only just this mouth I can't even see the fish. I just see this nasty ass mouth with teeth.
Can you smell the fish smell?
Oh my God! You look at you with that.
Oh.
We got him.
It's fish smell and halitosis. That you're getting them at the same time. That's the worst. Oh man,
that's great.
Feel like pie now, Josh?
Yeah.
What would you do if you caught that and you're trying to pull the hook out and you saw that?
give him a piece of chewing gum. I have no idea.
It'd be like 4th and 10 and just punt him right back. Get out of my face.
This fish looks like the Incredible Mr. Limpet. It's really, it looks like Don Knotts as a fish. It's really crazy.
Why is it, that's really easy to picture Don Knotts as a fish. It's not like that. I can totally see that in my head.
Did you never see that movie, The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Oh, no. Was there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it was made in the early 60s.
It was
right?
one of that series of when Don Knotts was suddenly a comedy superstar, when he was the Jim Carrey of the 60s and the Ghost in Mr. Chicken and the Shakiest Gun in the West.
Ghost
and the Incredible Mr. Limpet was the animated.
Maybe that is why I can picture it so easy then. Maybe I have seen it or something. I don't know.
I've been trying desperately
to get
it on
TV.
Yeah.
I've been trying desperately to get the kids to watch with me, some of those old Disney movies like The Incredible Mr. Limpet and I forgot about The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. I don't think I've ever seen that. But I can't get them to bite. They'll watch the trailer and they're like, no, don't think so.
Mr. Limpet, that was not a Disney movie. That was a Warner Brothers desperately attempting to do a Disney movie and not failing. Disney at the time was doing... awesome live action stuff like the Apple Dumpling Gang
with Tim Conway
and that darn cat with Dean Jones.
Isn't the Song of the South, whatever that, didn't they do that?
Oh, that was,
way to go, Disney.
That one's
don't want to remember that, do you there, Walt?
is that the one with Brer Rabbit and Uncle Remus?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen
Zippity
that.
Zippity doo dah, zippity a.
Yep.
Incredibly inappropriate, and they have put that in the vault and don't even talk about it, and they will never. However, for years, Zippity Doo Dah was still included on the sing along songs releases that they put out because Alex watched those when he was a kid, and they kept that in there with happy old Uncle Remus walking around the plantation talking about what a beautiful day it is with all the animated birds and animals around him.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. They're all having a good time there on the plantation in the briar patch.
Somebody keeps putting it up on YouTube, and it's around for like, a day before Disney gets it yanked down. But somebody has the whole movie that they keep trying to put up under different, names and different accounts.
They're never going to let them forget. This is what you did.
Yeah. This exists. Well, there's a lot of Looney Tunes, too. There's some really racist Bugs Bunny World War II cartoons.
Do you guys get MeTV? Do you have that channel? You probably do. You just never watch it.
Is it on DirecTV? Yeah.
Well, I got Dish, so I'm assuming it is. But it's like, it's Saturday and Sunday mornings. They do they'd throw back to like when we were kids and play those old cartoons. Like they play like the Pink Panther ones they even play like Popeye and all that stuff. And I watched one like a week ago that was a Bugs Bunny one, and it was just so racist and so bad. I was just sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe they're even rerunning this. You know what I mean? But some of those, they're all smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and getting hammered. It's crazy.
MeTV, I think it used to be something else.
Maybe like Nick and Mike
Spike
something.
TV or something. Yeah, something. Like, and they changed the name to MeTV. They rebranded that a few years back, I believe. But there's some crazy stuff in there. And things like Mr. Magoo.
Oh, yeah. They're all shooting each other in the face with shotguns.
Yeah, you're getting both Asians and people that are visually challenged in one doobit there.
There's a pretty memorable Little Rascals episode that I remember watching. They repeated it over and over again, where some like bushmen from the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa somehow gets shipped over like in a crate, like he was going to be some carnival sideshow, and escapes and gets into the house where all the little rascals are. And he's got, it's literally just this horrible, like teased up afro hair. Bone in the nose.
I was going to say, there's got to be a bone in the hair, like, or bone in the
like,
nose, or something.
Some kind of bone necklace and fashioned, skirt for a loincloth type thing. And he keeps chasing the kids around the house. Only phrase he says in English is, eat them up, yum, yum. And that's it. And I have, and that is so memorable to me in the worst way possible. And I sometimes say that phrase out loud. And I go, no, I can't even tell anybody why I'm saying that. Eat him up, yum, yum. And he's going after Spanky because he looks so delectable and pudgy and delicious. Shubby.
Well, this weekend, or this last week, I guess, Silas has been asking, and we relented and said, okay, we'll watch this new Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Emily Blunt movie,
Jungle Cruise. Yep.
Yeah. And it's like $30 to watch it on Apple Plus or whatever, or Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you think about it, how much would you spend going to the theater to see a movie like that?
For the whole family? Yeah.
Yeah.
$100, right?
Yeah. For the four of us, easy. Easy, $100.
Yeah, plus there's no COVID at home, too.
So, exactly. Yeah. So the $30, excuse me, $30, and you can watch it as many times as you want, you know, in the next several months. So,
are you going to watch it several times?
I think once was enough.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't bad. It was not bad. But what the thing that I thought of, and there's a wholesale liberties taken with it. There, you know, it's basically based on the Jungle Cruise thing, but then there's a whole story that, you know, is not involved in the Jungle Cruise thing.
Yeah.
But there, did you ever take the Jungle Cruise, Josh?
Like last time we went, I think was the first time I had been on in a while.
Do they still have
the
pole where all of the natives are trying to climb the pole to escape a alligator, crocodile, or whatever?
Well, you know what?
They do?
Well, no, hold on. They did last time I rode. Again, that was before COVID, so that's like 2 years ago. But I think they just, with the release of this movie, they went through that ride and cleaned it all up.
They sanitized and
got rid of all the
political incorrectness.
I think that was in the news like within the last like month or two that they shut that ride down during COVID and were like, if we're going to release this movie, we can't have a big old racist ride going on because everybody's going to be coming here. So they got rid of the un-PC things in there. And I don't know if they put a bunch of like fake The Rocks just standing on the side, waving their arms and flexing their muscles or what. I don't know. But yeah, they cleaned that up.
Yeah, because that pole where it was being climbed by a bunch of natives with bones through their nose.
Yeah, there's
that probably had to go.
I don't remember them, but there's a couple things in there that were like, I don't know if that is too PC.
Yeah. Larry had to leave us for just a second. I think some he has to talk someone through A Take on Me by A-ha. And
oh, I don't miss radio at all.
And he'll
I
be
do
back.
Not miss the weekend. I used to get calls in the middle of the night from some of those overnight guys that just didn't know what the hell was going on. I'd get a call.
You at 100.3 The Sound were the programming assistant, so you were the first line of help if something was going wrong with the programming log.
Well,
or
I wasn't
like
the first line of help. I was the one to call at night. because Dave wasn't going to answer. He's like, no, you call Josh. And then if Josh doesn't answer, you call me. And, you know, I've got many calls just in the middle of the night and had to get up and go to the computer and figure out what
the log was not there.
We're missing music for 3 a.m. It's just like, what the hell? That was there before when I left. And so I got to schedule an hour music at 2:30. I'm like, all right, just play Stairway to Heaven. The first song, Stairway to Heaven. And then we'll figure it out. That'll buy us some time. But yeah, that was, I do not miss that. I do not miss the panicked, We don't have any spots in the commercial breaks for the next 3 hours. Just like,
well, because that is in the mind of even many seasoned radio hosts, that is the thing that is most terrifying.
Yep.
The idea of dead air. Well, specifically, think about it like this. I'm not afraid of dead air anymore. I mean, when I first started out, I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't have anything prepared to talk about. It's always good, even if you have a content-heavy show. Like Mark Thompson would have a stack of stuff to talk about that was much thicker than the time he had allotted. He would always
overprepared and had extra.
And that's because the last thing you want is to run out of all of your content and get to a point where, like, I don't have anything else to talk about, and there's 15 minutes left in the hour.
All right, let's all start making fart noises.
Right. What do you talk about? Uh-huh. And think about it. You know, that's for a content. That's for a show that's preparing content, uh-huh. right? And ready and always in the mindset of talking about stuff. But what if you're doing a show like it was at The Sound the rest of the day, where it was music intensive? And you were hired as a music DJ, mm-hmm. where you're just introducing song after song, and that's it, talking maybe a total of 3 minutes an hour. And all of a sudden, the music disappears, and you got a hot mic. What are we talking about?
Just grab the first song that's on the thing, drag it over and press play, and that'll buy us 5 minutes to find the next song.
Yeah, but what if the whole thing is down? The board is down, and you can't play any music. Yeah. You can't, and it's just the microphone or dead air.
And did you ever have anything like that happen when you were at The Sound? Like, where you just had like a total computer meltdown where you just stand there and it's you and the listener?
I believe it did happen one time where, you know, it's basically, hey, how's it going? You know what? Here's a funny story. The mechanism that plays music, it's not so worky right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you stories from my childhood. When I was 9 years old, the bedwetting finally stopped because you try to find something to talk about for a minute while you get something ready to play.
And that's hard to do because you have to talk about something and make sense. You know what I mean? And one half of you is fucking panicking, screaming fire drill. And the other half is trying to stay normal and talk to somebody, but your hands are scrambling on the screen and typing in and doing all this stuff. And the other half's going, yeah. So I watched the first Batman movie, 1989, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't do it. I would have to talk for like 30 seconds and then work for like 30 seconds and then talk. I can't do both at the same time. I'd be too panicky.
Right. The most recent time that anything anywhere near that happened was Pledge Drive at 88.5 a couple years ago, where right before the end of my show at 7 o'clock, we get a call in for a request pledge. Somebody wants to hear a song. And there are three of them, three people. It's Ringo Starr, Joe Walsh, and Steve Lukather. They've each pitched in like $750 or something to hear Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who, because they're driving to the Hollywood Bowl together in a limo to watch Zach Starkey, Ringo's son, play drums with The Who.
Right.
And they want to hear Won't Get Fooled Again. So I'm like, I was done with my show, but I pop in. I'm like, okay, so I got to interrupt the World Cafe here, the recorded show, for just a minute because I can't ignore this. We got a request for a song from, you know, these three hooligans who are going down to the Hollywood Bowl right now. They want to hear Won't Get Fooled Again. And right then as I'm saying this live, it dawns on me, holy shit, do we have that song in our library?
No.
And so I'm telling the story, I start with my mouse looking in here. Okay, get this, gotta get the search button. Let's put this in. I'm talking and finding it. I'm like, here it is. Yeah. Oh, thank fuck. I had the song in there and could play it. But at that point, I'd have somebody go down to, you know, I keep the mic open until somebody got back from Best Buy.
Play it off your phone. Yeah.
I'll sing it myself. Team is a new boss. You imagine? Then they all call in to stop.
Okay, we want our money back. We're going to give you like $3.
Yeah. Those checks are going to bounce. Sorry about that. Hey, Larry, I wanted to show you something. I have to take off my headphones a little bit to do this. Let's see. Can you see? Look at this.
My name's Josh, actually. You can call me Larry.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at, the name Larry Morgan on the screen there.
Is that little peach fuzz go? I can't tell.
I have some hair growing on my head, Josh.
Looks good.
Look at that. You know who I look like? Lara told me I look like Gunther from Friends.
I think you look like Captain Picard.
Oh, yeah?
Have a little
thing? Oh,
Oh yeah, so you do look like Gunther. I didn't know who he was, and then I pictured he's the barista guy, right?
The barista, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just got the gray going on the sides and the top there. Yeah,
looks good.
It's coming back in just a little bit there. Yeah, I keep saying to the kids, I think somebody go get me a comb.
And they laugh and go, "Dad, yeah. My dad's nuts."
Vivian, do you have any more of those hair scrunchies? I'm gonna need one soon. The hair is starting to grow back.
Find yourself
just a little
bit sitting by yourself and occasionally just reaching up and touching it and going, "Yeah,
yeah." It's the weirdest feeling. It's,
now,
it's
like, is it bristly like whisker hair?
It's very soft. Okay. It's very, very soft. You know, what's great is I went out the other day to check the mail. And it was a pretty windy day over here, very breezy outside. And I went out, and as I went, a little bit of air, a little bit of wind, like bristled through my hair. I'm like, what is this sensation? This is great. Oh, I like this. Oh, it tickles, and I like it. I love it. The feeling of the hair coming back just a little bit is really nice.
You know what? Well, since Larry's kind of gone and we're talking about hair, I had something. Do you want to? Should we just do this now? This little thing I was talking about.
Sure.
Might take up some time. So yesterday, last week, I had a moment, or I talked about having a life, changing moment with the bidet.
Your father's bidet.
Right.
Well, in the basement, in the middle of a basement of a dark, dank Pittsburgh home.
So yesterday I'm working, and Friday's usually really slow for me. So I put the TV on. I like have my work done for the day, and I'll sit in front of the computer because occasionally there's a fire alarm and you have to fix something at last second. So I'm just hanging out.
Sure.
And I get up and you put on the guide to see what's on TV. So I'm scrolling through, and I scroll down and I get to ESPN and ESPN2. And for some reason, I get up. I think I had to go pee or something. I get up, I look at the screen, and I walk out of the room, and I'm walking down to the hallway, and it just hits me right in the face what I just looked at. And I could not believe it. And I just started giggling, right? And then the giggle, it was one of those, the giggling then turned into laughter, and then the laughter turned into like screaming, and I ran back in, looked at the screen, and I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Cindy, come here. And I just want to read what the lineup was for the next three shows on ESPN2 yesterday at around, I think it was like 1:32 in the afternoon. Let me see if I can find this in my library.
These are what you saw
this
on
is a
the
real,
screen
this is
for, the,
actually,
for the
This
guide.
Is a real thing. I took a picture of the screen to prove it. At 2 p.m. on ESPN2. The
Tiddlywinks,
the Cal Chip Throwing Championship was on. Okay, so that was at 2 p.m. and you would be now, like, holy shit!
Cal Chip Throwing, is that for distance or accuracy?
I think it's distance. Well, I don't know. It could have been like the Olympics. They could have the biathlon where they did both. I won gold in accuracy, but got silver in distance. I don't know. That was followed at 2:30 p.m. by the U.S. Mullet Championships.
Okay. So, Mullet Championships.
Yes. And now I'm like, my brain is just spinning and it's like, what? This is amazing. So that's at 2:30 p.m. At 3 p.m. is the U.S. Air Guitar Championships.
Wow.
So the next three shows on ESPN2 are going to be out of this world. So I tune into the Cal Chip Throwing Championships, and I caught it at the very end, but I got to hear, this is when I got like the last 5 minutes and they actually were interviewing the winner. And this is, I got this. I recorded these with my phone. So bear with me. If it starts to sound shitty, tell me and we'll just move on to something else. But this is the 2021 Cal Chip Throwing Champion.
So, all right.
Let me get this up on the, hold on here.
It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, now I'm...
I make it look easy when I do that.
Okay.
I make it look easy when I play back those phone calls.
I do. Now, hold on.
By the way, your YAF line calls are coming up here in just a minute.
Okay.
626-657-6428.
We caught up with Kate after his win, and here's what he had to say. Yeah, hey, my name's Kate Nickerson. This is my first year here to throw at the Beaver Cow Chip Festival of the World. Came came out, I really want to thank God for giving me this thunderbolt of an arm that was allowed me to throw it 161 feet. I think it's 161 and a half feet. I'm just really, really happy today and happy to be here.
Okay, so he thanked God for his powerhouse arm. That's what he literally. Yeah. That's what he said. Okay,
I want to thank God for letting me throw cow shit today. Oh,
so then, as they're like fading out and thanking everybody,
that is grateful. That's grateful.
As they're like closing the show, right? They're just showing people just picking up cow shit and just looking at it and being like, "This one looks so good." It's just insane. So
then, well, when you're at a, but seriously, let's imagine just for a second. You know, I know it's hubris. Mm-hmm. I know it's blasphemy. But imagine you're God for just a second.
Every morning, okay, you know, go ahead.
When
Larry's
when,
back, he, oh, Larry just when, walked right into that. Imagine
when
you're
Odell
God.
Wait, imagine Jr. I'm God. Okay, I'm there.
When Odell Beckham Jr. catches a ball with one hand and tips two toes into the end zone and falls back and wins the Super Bowl, okay, I'm pointing to the sky. You can see God saying, all right, hey, you know, something nice happened for the Browns finally. That's I like that. But if you've just seen someone throw a piece of cow shit and you're God, I think you're saying, you know what? You can leave me out of this one. I don't need an album credit on this one.
Okay.
This is good.
Okay. So that was the 2:30 show.
Larry, you just missed it. These are shows that Josh actually saw on ESPN2. Yesterday.
So the first one was
the cow chip throwing championship.
Yeah, where did that come from, Josh? Because I grew up in a very big part of the circuit for cow chip throwing in West Texas.
I don't think it was Texas. He said, right. I played part of the interview. He said where it was at. And
all right. I'm just saying part of the circuit. It wasn't probably where the championship, unless they rotate like any good, you know, championship.
Well, it could have been a regional championship. And then they go on to, you know, play the Super Bowl of cow shit throwing.
Yeah. They had the cow chip throwing contest outside of Odessa, Texas at the site of a meteor crater.
Wow.
That's where they held it. And let me tell you, I've been out to that meteor crater site, and that cow chip throwing contest is the most interesting thing about that meteor crater
here's,
site.
Here's the question.
And it's rare to say that about a place where a freaking meteor hit the earth.
Here's a question. What's worse, actually being a participant in the cow chip throwing championships, or the guy that has to walk around and goes, that looks like a regulation cow shit that somebody needs to throw for the league? And I mean, they have to collect like 80 of these things.
Yeah. And you got judges. I mean, there's a whole structure to it. Absolutely.
Oh, I want to be like a referee, like an actual referee that's went through that, like a pat. I got a patch on my sleeve that says
Dare to Dream.
Yep. All right. So that was to, I think, the 2:30 one. And then, or that was two, and then 2:30 comes on, and then this is the one where I tuned in and I recorded it, okay? Because I was like, I need to record this, and I'm going to get, if there's anything great on here, I'm going to record some snippets. So I did the best I could to come up with some of the best of the, this was last year, because I think they canceled it this year because of COVID. So this was a replay of the 2020 Mullet World Championships, all right? So here's some of the best of, the couple parts are just them introducing the contestants. And then I think the last couple ones are like short little interviews and stuff like that. So here is number one. Let me.
The first finalist, number 36, Mike X-Ray Paris with a Kentucky waterfall is his mullet style.
Kentucky waterfall.
Nice locks there. And a chaw. I think he's got a chaw.
So what you'll start to see a pattern here. The color guy is just amazing. The things that he's going to start saying every time is just hilarious. So that was the first guy. He's like, a chaw. I think he's got a chaw. So here's the
a chaw, a big chunk of chewing tobacco in your mouth.
Number 51, Randy Rocket Man Barnaby, the veteran coming in here. 30 years he's been rocking his mullet. It's a professorial look, if you like, a professor of, I'm going to guess, cannabis. That a wood shop finalist.
a professorial look if you like a professor of cannabis
or wood shop. So wow. Here's another one.
Like they've been in a police lineup before, but Randy, the main event, Mosher. The Randy Red Mosher coming out a little bit embarrassed. Yeah, well, he's got a mullet.
Yeah, well, he's got a mullet. That is glorious. Right. This was actually on television.
110. Fitting shirts are optional.
fitting shirts are optional.
This guy had his gut hanging out. All right, then there's a couple more, but I don't. Do you want me to keep playing them, or are we good?
It's kind of hard to hear some of those. Okay, maybe not. But that is glory. Yes. That was on ESPN2.
ESPN2, and then it was followed by the Air Guitar Championships, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. I need to go spend some time.
God,
I had to leave
glorious.
And go spend time with my family to make sure that decency still existed in this world. Because I was like, the Air Guitar Championships were just, wow, they were bizarre, and people were into it, man. They were really into it.
Were they good?
What's good in air guitar? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how you judge that. Like, okay, I guess that's my.
I'm sure accuracy, artistic expression.
Well, they had to spin a wheel, and then what genre that landed on, they had to, because they, like, I don't think they knew the songs. They had to like improvise. So there couldn't like, how do you be accurate when you're improvising air guitar? You know what I mean? I don't know. It was.
Yeah.
So bizarre. And then even the follow-up, the Air Guitar Championship, I didn't even mention, was the World Freestyle Tag Championship. Yeah, like, you're it. That bullshit.
Well, this was a joke in Dodgeball, where it was, they were covering Dodgeball on ESPN8.
The Ocho.
But this is great. This was on ESPN2. Yep. That's absolutely fantastic.
That was my afternoon yesterday.
Oh, that's glorious. By the way, I've been taking your advice and tuning in to the Game Show Network.
Yeah.
A couple of times. Basically, I do it at the same time every day. It's like late at night, and I get this the same, what is it, idiot quiz or whatever, idiot test.
I don't know.
So I get like the same thing every time, and it's gotten a little bit old for me. But I want to catch it when they're showing old match games and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to put it on in the afternoon sometime. I think match game 75 starts at like 2 p.m. or something like that. But it's preceded by Card Sharks and Press Your Luck.
Card Sharks. Yes. No whammies.
No, that's Press Your Luck. Card Sharks.
Oh, that's Press Your Luck? Yeah.
Press Your Luck.
A joker.
2,000
a joker.
Spin.
And a triple.
Got your money. That fucking thing.
Yes. Yes, that thing.
Yeah, the whammy.
Well, we've got a little bit of a difficulty here because I have one phone call to play.
All right.
Larry is dealing with problems, real life problems right now on the air with the engineering staff at K-Earth. They're trying to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. So Larry is usually the one that plays the low energy mic theme. But I'm going to have to drop that in here. So if you excuse me, I go work a little magic and.
Low energy Mike. Low energy Mike.
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. The last few days we've been doing fence posts, specifically railroad ties and metal T-posts. We use a hydraulic vibrating plate compactor, commonly known as a HOPAC, with an adapter bolted to it to drive the posts into the ground. This is mounted on the excavator. The railroad ties are semi-pointed with a chainsaw. This is pretty hard on the chain. The guy only gets a couple of done until he has to sharpen the chain again. The area where we were working was rocky and dry. So we would pound in a pilot tool, which is a 3-foot steel heavy weld tube with a point welded to it. It's about 3.5 feet long. Then waller it around to loosen up the ground. Then soak it with water from a 400-gallon tank in the back of the pickup. Then stand the tie up in the hole and vibrate it into the ground, hopefully about 3 feet. Once all the railroad ties are in, then we went to the T-post. These were 7-foot posts. We're going 2 feet into the ground. So we have a 2-inch pipe with a plate welded on one end that would cover 5 feet of the post. So when the pipe hits the ground, the post is into the correct depth. It's been a pretty post-tastic couple of days for this ditch digging man. Talk. See you later.
Theme.
Yeah, oh, here you go.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
So yeah, well, that's pretty impressive. I didn't know that so much went into driving a railroad tie into the ground.
You know what I just kind of realized is, I feel like he never does the same thing twice. He's always doing something new and different. Where, like, I couldn't even do 3 of the things that he's told us that he's done in the last 2 years or whatever. I got to sneeze.
Got some allergies going there?
This show, man, it makes my nose run. It makes everything.
It makes you gag.
Yeah, it makes me gag. But, like, he's always doing something new. Like, what was the thing that he did something underwater? He fixed something that was underneath. Like, he's just, it's never the same thing twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the life I want to live.
Does he sound like the kind of guy that would stand to have a repetitive job that was the same every week? He does not sound like that to me. He sounds like someone who needs to get out and be free and go mountain biking with his dog and then go to the local watering hole and have some interesting beers and play some music. He does not sound like a guy that wants to have a job that is the same thing day in and day out.
That's the life to live, man. Go out there.
It is.
Go out to every job is a new puzzle to solve. You know what I mean? It never gets boring. He's just got all these crazy tools. And by the way, we've discussed chainsaws, right? Chainsaws are awesome.
Have we?
I think me and you discussed chainsaws before. I've always wanted a chainsaw. I asked for one for every Christmas.
You have no need for a chainsaw, yet you still want one?
Every year I ask for a chainsaw.
What would you do with it?
Run it.
Wee, wee, wee.
Just stand out in the garage in the driveway. And pull that trigger. And just stand out there. run it for an hour until it runs out of gas and go get more gas.
Again, it takes me back to Christmas Vacation.
Oh,
what are you going to do with that, Griswold? Bend over and I'll show you. You can't talk to me like that. Wasn't talking to you.
It all comes back to Vacation. Christmas
it
Vacation.
It all comes back to Christmas Vacation. I swear to God, it came up again this week. It is the I Ching. Yep. It is the Book of Changes. It is everything that you need to know about life is somehow addressed in that book. Like, I was driving on the road with the family the other day, and there was somebody in front of me that was just driving 45 in a 70, right? And I'm like, I gotta get around this egg timer. And Laura's like, what? I'm like, egg timer. She goes, what? I've never heard that before. I said, it's from when he's going to get the Christmas tree at the beginning of Christmas Vacation. She's like, oh yeah, okay. I feel like it's some of it's lost on her, and it hurts. It hurts that I'm alone. With these things. Hey, so this is a quick health update. You ready for a quick health update?
Sure. Tell me. Shoot. Give me it.
Larry Morgan on assignment briefly while he's handling things at work. But I told you a week or so ago, I get my PET scan, end of chemo PET scan done, and my hair is growing back, right?
Right.
So it's, we're done with the chemo is the general upshot of what's going on here. I'm not going to have any more chemotherapy for the foreseeable future. But the PET scan says, you did a great job. Everything was great. You know, you took something that was a huge tumor and it's almost gone. So fantastic. But to my ear, I'm still apprehensive about it. And that was, you know, all last week, my birthday week, I was a little bit down about it because I'm like, I was kind of hoping for, I didn't expect someone to say, you're cancer free, because it takes 5 years to get to that designation. Okay. But I at least expected them to come back and say, yeah, we don't see anything. We don't see anything now. But they still did see a little bit of a shadow of activity there. So they gave me a few options. One was to do nothing and sit around and wait for, you know, the night sweats to come back and find out that I'm fatigued to set in. Hey, you're sick again. The other one was somebody said, hey, why don't you cut the spleen out? Why don't you do a splenectomy? And that didn't exactly excite me because you can cut your spleen out and lead a productive life, but you will always be immunocompromised. And here would be the real disappointment. They do a splenectomy, and then I find out afterwards, oh, sorry, you still got cancer around there. So,
yeah.
You know, so that would be a
you're like, all punch. Right, put it back in, put the spleen back in. Did you save it?
Oh, were we supposed to hold on to that?
It's in a doggy bag in the fridge.
Jim, you had it, didn't you?
It's a styrofoam container.
So that didn't excite me. You know, invasive heroic measures didn't excite me, and do nothing didn't excite me. I was wondering if there was a middle ground. And so I met with a radiologist this last week, and he talks about doing the radiation therapy. Find out that if you do chemo, and, you know, basically knock it out, and then you do radiation after on lymphoma, it lowers the chance of it coming back by like 60-80%.
Okay.
So I'm like, why wouldn't I do that? That sounds like a great idea. I think that might be the thing to do.
And
so,
I could be wrong, but don't they have like the radiation is way different than it was years ago? They can aim it more, you know what I mean, be more precise with it now, so it's less...
No, they just hand me a softball of plutonium.
Oh, really?
And I just rub it around on my belly for a couple of minutes. Yeah, yeah. It's like Homer Simpson. Yeah. No, it is a little bit more exact, I guess. And they use, you know, like CT scans to guide it and all that kind of stuff. But here's the crazy thing. It has to happen every day for like a month. Every day for a month, you go in and you lay down on the table and they do a little scan, find out where your spleen is, and they guide this, you know, this radiation
laser
for two minutes, and then you're off. It takes like 15 minutes. You're in and out every day for like a month.
Well,
you've got to do
that. Is that what you're doing?
I don't know. I'm still getting second opinions this next week, but gosh, that sounds good. And it buoyed my spirits to think that I've got a chance. And when you brought up that guy's name with the mullet, X-ray, is what made me think of it. I'm kind of excited, but I'm at least excited about the idea of doing something where, you know, I increase my chances of not getting sick again anytime.
Right, right.
Now,
better than
now,
just sitting there and waiting for
right.
5 years. That would make me nuts.
That doesn't sound pleasant to me. It doesn't.
I'd try to punch it out of me.
Yeah, right.
just start punching myself.
Gonna get a tattoo of a target yeah, right there. Punch
exactly.
The bullseye.
Here, grab.
See if you can punch the bullseye.
Grab the darts, Owen. We're gonna get that cancer. I'll pull it out of my fist.
So, yeah, excited about doing that. What I'm interested in is a couple of things. One, I'm wondering if I'm going to turn into the Hulk or the Flash. from the gamma radiation.
How did the Flash become the
Flash? It was radiation.
Are you
it was radiation.
Do you like Flash? Do you like the Flash?
Not really. Silas loves it.
So
Silas
wants like
it.
The
he's on
too.
Like episodes or season 7.
No, I'm not even talking about the show. I'm just saying as a
no,
persona, as a superhero. Do you like the Flash?
No, not really.
I don't get it. I don't know. I don't. Speed is like the lamest of superpowers.
No,
right?
The lamest of superpowers. Frank Caliendo told us was Aquaman.
Oh, yeah. He's not a superhero.
Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, Aquaman makes a sandwich because he can't do shit.
Yeah. And then like, he sends his telepathic waves out and a fucking whale comes.
Yeah.
And it's like,
exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's a whale. Too bad this problem's on land and this guy's bleeding to death. Way to go.
Not much help.
Thanks for the plankton. Yeah, but
thanks for the krill.
but okay, you're right. Aquaman is definitely the worst. He's got the worst powers. But other than that, Flash is kind of stupid, right? I mean, what's he? He just runs. Does he do anything else?
But he's super fast. He's super, super
right,
fast.
Right, but okay.
And apparently he can time travel with how fast he goes.
What's he do? The Superman thing? And he makes the world spin backwards, which means we move backwards? Well, he basically moves the stupidest thing in the world, by the way. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That's just the dumbest thing. Somebody should in that meeting should have said something. They're like, let's have him spin the earth backwards, then that means time moves backwards. It's like,
no
that means we all just go flying into space.
Yeah, everything flings off of the earth tangentially. Yeah,
exactly.
Then we're all dead.
Thanks, Superman, for killing the earth.
Thanks for ripping the atmosphere off of the planet. We're toast.
Way to go, stupid man. Okay.
Not good.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about superheroes all day, but definitely Aquaman's definitely the worst. I say,
well, of the two that I might become, would you rather be the Hulk or Flash?
The Hulk, please.
Really?
Hell yeah. I see,
you would ruin all of your clothes.
Except my loincloths. My purple loincloth would always
except
be
my rubber loincloth.
my purple jeans would always just rip right at the Daisy Duke level, and then I'd just start throwing cars at people if they looked at me funny. I don't care.
You wear a rubber suit.
I'd take my gigantic watermelon hands and just start punching things.
Could you imagine always wearing a rubber suit? Sweaty and disgusting.
No, he doesn't wear rubber. He wears purple jeans.
I know, but I'm saying you could. He had to go through, how many pairs of jeans do you think the Hulk went through? I'd rather be the Flash and be able to you know, just keep one outfit all the time.
Yeah, but I don't know. You don't do anything. You just run. I mean, it's too fast. Cool.
Yeah, but I don't have to sleep it off under an oak tree all the time.
Yeah, but nobody's going to fuck with you. You want something, you just take it. I'm the Hulk. Give me a latte.
Yeah, but if you're the Flash, nobody's going to mess with you either. You just run away. Run away.
I'll still mess with you. Hey, Flash, you're stupid. Run. There you go. What are you going to do? Run a circle around me? Ah,
maybe.
Don't do that.
Send you back to medieval times.
Yeah, don't spin me around, because then, you know, my life will start moving backwards and I'll turn into a child like Superman did.
Hey, I forgot to mention when we played the phone call, the phone number is 626-657-6428. If you have something you want to share with us,
Real quick,
area code 626-657-6428. Or if you need a mnemonic device, we have one. It's O, Amok, PM, Hat.
Since we don't have Larry today, guess what I got on my little phone right here? I got an email.
You have an email?
I got an email.
Someone emailed you at Joshua J.
Someone emailed
Fleeger
me something that I wanted to
at gmail.com.
Right. Yep,
Joshua J. Fleeger@gmail.com. What did they send you?
This is from Carrie and Dale Dowling. They said, hi, listening to the YAF podcast now. Gosh, you guys make my work week. We bought an add-on bidet on Amazon a while back and love it. But after hearing about your experience, I want to upgrade. What is the manufacturer and model of that bidet? So I researched it to see what I...
You called John Milton?
No, I didn't even call him. I don't want to call him and ask him about his bidet. But I looked it up and I thought it was the Toto Washlet C5. So that was
the Toto Washlet C5.
Yep. So go ahead and look that up and you'll get to see you can imagine the pleasurable experiences that I went through.
That's $399?
No, that was like $497, I think.
Oh, yeah. $500 then.
Exactly. But worth every penny.
Are you going to get one? Is Santa going to bring you one for Christmas?
I'm going to ask for that and a chainsaw, see which one shows up first. I'm going to ask for the chainsaw first, which I know I'm not going to get. Then I'm going to follow it up with a bidet.
Well, just give her a choice of the chainsaw and the bidet, and she's going to realize that the bidet is something she might use as well.
Was there something as a kid that you asked for every Christmas and you never got? Your parents just wouldn't get you?
No. You know what I asked for? There's a picture of it, too. What I asked for my third birthday?
What?
Is I wanted a bag of suckers.
you can see that?
Yeah. You can see there's a picture of me on Christmas Day sitting on the couch. I have a little plastic Jeep. And a big bag of suckers.
I asked in this order. I asked for these three things every year until I finally got one. The first thing I asked for was a motorcycle. And they're like, where are you going to ride it? We're in the middle of like a town. There's no, you can't, you know, you're like 8 years old. Where are you going to ride your motorcycle? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm up and down the driveway. And then when they said no to that, then I asked for a BB gun, and which they'd be like, no, you're just going to shoot your brother, which that's what I wanted it for. And then I asked for a guitar. And then finally, one year, I got the guitar because they would always say, no, you'll play it once and then you'll never touch it again. And I proved them wrong.
Did you take that,
Milton Nancy?
How many times did you play it?
Like 3 or 4.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Oh, but then you learned how to play the bass.
Then I sold it for a BB gun.
I upgraded to a guitar.
Shot my brother.
I traded that for a motorcycle. that's pretty great. And yep. So when did you learn how to play a bass, out of curiosity?
I don't even remember. I just picked it up. I don't think I ever really learned. I just took what I knew from the guitar and just said, it's 2 less strings, so that's a little less shit to worry about.
There you go. Well, there you go. Joshua J. Flieger at gmail.com.
I think.
Larry had to leave us to put out a fire. But if you want to reach the Yafsack of email, that is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. You can find me on the social media. I'm on Twitter at Andy_Chanley. I'm on Facebook at DJ Andy Chanley, and on Instagram at Andy Chanley. All one word. Josh, it's been a pleasure. I'm sorry that Larry had to go and do unfun things, but it was great to...
We chugged on. We kept on going, like gritty professionals, you know? We literally, at the beginning of the show, we're talking about, like, what do you do when mayhem hits the radio studio, and we had a little bit of mayhem hit us then. We just smacked it right in his teeth.
Well, there's never been a point to this podcast. That's the relief that I have.
Yeah.
Is that why worry
and
about it?
I'm certainly not scared of any dead air because we could just cut that out. if we want to stop talking, I could just leave right now.
That's right. Well, I can't wait to see you next week.
Yeah. Okay.
The people that you know don't like you and treasure friendships this podcast, we're your artificial friends.
Now get out of my sight.
Football's back. You know that? Football's
back. Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Football's back.